with Sean and Carl on One Dish, One Mic from News Talk 610, CKTV.
I'm kind of mad that I don't actually have turquoise on my wrists.
Right? I watched the video for Bougie Natives, yeah. And I'm like, I want all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, can I be you, please?
I want to be a Bougie Native.
real quick before we get back into the important things, Clayton Logan, the elder from across the river there, the epitome of a Bougie Native. Clayton Logan?
No,
you don't think so? Turquoise everywhere?
No.
Have you ever seen Clayton Logan dressed to impress?
Clayton Logan can do no wrong.
That's what I mean. Okay, hold on. Maybe the devil's in the detail and you see bougie as a bad thing. I see it as a positive thing.
Okay. Well, one thing that's definitely positive is Dr. Robin Bourgeois, who is here in the studio with us.
Thanks.
Okay, hold on. If you think bougie is a bad thing and you're letting me call her bougie, like, what does that say about you?
It is a bad thing, man. That's the whole point of the song.
Okay, no, it is not. I'm sorry that you have to deal with this.
We're dealing with the most pressing Indigenous issues. What does bougie mean?
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Dr. Robin Bourgeois is awesome though, and you are a professor at Brock University.
I sure am.
What do you do? What's your day job like?
It's pretty fantastic, actually. I think it is. I get to teach and work with young people, which I think is really incredible, and I get a chance to maybe change some lives in that way, because I always saw teaching changed my life, so the teachers I had made me a better person, so that's my goal. I get to do research, so I study lots of different things and write a lot, which doesn't sound that sexy. I just had a post about that the other day, like, right. You have to put music to it, because otherwise it's like, again.
I pictured you in a montage doing research, right?
Totally.
With bougie natives.
Yeah. Music. Totally, exactly, right? And then I get to do lots of talking with people, which I love. So, and then there's some institutional work, which is always, I mean, you have to do it. You have to be on committees and you have to help the university, and I'm down with that too. So it's kind of a cool gig. I love it.
How long are you from Niagara?
No, actually, I'm from BC.
Okay, so how did you end up here?
Love. Love and a job. I came here in 2014 actually to do, or actually, sorry, 2004 to do my PhD in Toronto. And while I was here, I met a guy from Six Nations. And,
you're from Oneida, just to be clear.
That's one of the Six Nations.
Right?
We're all
exactly.
Brothers. Not Anishinaabe people. Just us Six Nations.
Yes. So, So we met. We actually spent 2 years out in Mi'kma'ki. We were out. I headed an Indigenous Women's Leadership Program out there for a couple of years. And then the job came up at Brock, and I jumped and got it. And we wanted to come back because at least his family's here. And I love this area. I think this has kind of become home for me. So I'm Perfect. So happy to be here. Although it's weird being a Cree person in Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee territory. I sometimes feel a little left out.
Note the order in which she cited whose territory
it is. Technically, what you should have said is it's Haudenosaunee.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
The doctor has spoken.
All right. We're all welcome here. One dish, one spoon. So how is the culture different here, though, compared to Vancouver? I feel like Vancouver is like this progressive paradise where they're always acknowledging unceded territory, and there's Indigenous artwork all over the place, and it's like the dream, right, compared to here?
I imagine BC started land acknowledgements.
Possibly.
In my head, like when I think of the origin story, I think of BC.
Which actually seems kind of fitting because my interpretation of Vancouver is... I think it's a little show, a little bit of a show, right?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, the first thing you see when you come into the airport is Bill Reid's sculpture the airport, right? And it's sort of like, it's there, but like, what's Vancouver really doing to acknowledge some of the issues at play? So I think it's like a cultural like celebration and like, look, we look good. But in reality, I mean, I've seen a lot of colonial racism on the ground. And I mean, I think of the Downtown East Side. I mean, back to missing and murdered women, right? That whole system was around that colonialism and that violence and allowing that to happen. So for me, I think Vancouver is definitely more visually Indigenous. But I think on the ground, it's not always practically like that.
That makes sense. When we were talking about the Minister of Middle, let me get that out without laughing. Okay. We're talking about the, I can't do it.
Okay. Minister of Bouginess, right?
Oh, the Minister of Middle Class Prosperity, and there's not a minister for the 4.6 million Canadians
exactly.
that are living at or below the poverty line.
Yes.
And when I think of Vancouver, I thought it was a paradise. I thought I was in heaven. Everyone's driving Maseratis. There's big, beautiful glass buildings, cultural stuff. The museum at the university is stunning. And then on the last day that I was in the city, I was like, well, you know what? I'll walk up to the Friendship Center and just check it out. I got a little time to kill. I'll walk through the downtown east side, and I'd never seen anything like it. Like, I'm from Buffalo, you know? Like I live on the west side, you know? And I had never seen anything like it. It was like this forgotten realm of people it was shock, total shock.
Yeah. I've actually called it Canada's, garbage can, where basically it tries to hide all of its problems because that's where they're manifesting. Like, you can see the lived reality of people right there, and it's just like, we'll contain it to this little spot and we will just make that be the problem space. And it operates kind of like, as I love, Carl, what you said about being over policed and underprotected. Because that's what it is. It's a space where anything can happen and nobody cares. And that is so, it's devastating. I went down too. I was in Vancouver in June when the report dropped, actually, funny enough. And I went down to lay tobacco down, and it hasn't changed in 10 years. It has not changed even a little bit, even with increasing awareness. Yeah.
Wow. Is Canada built to solve these types of complex problems? Like, maybe, you know, we're so worried about middle class prosperity, and we're so worried about all kinds of other issues, that these things, I mean, poverty is not new.
No.
Indigenous.
Capitalism. Canada's based on capitalism, right? And the desire for my success. The most important thing as a capitalist is for me to succeed. Puts on blinders to everybody else who's around me.
Exactly.
So my brothers and sisters who aren't doing as well as I am, or aren't pulling themselves up by the bootstraps as much as, or as well as I am doing, you forget that.
True.
I wonder, like, and this may be an odd thing to say, but do you think that there is sort of a comfort for these people who live these type of lifestyles? Do you think the East, that side of Vancouver, is that their home? Do you know what I mean? Is that like a calling for them? This is where we're going to go, because this is where we feel comfortable, where there is that strength in numbers.
Yeah.
Is that a fair
fair assessment?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think there's people focus on the poverty and the violence and the sex trade and drugs and addiction there, but there's a sense of community. There are people who, and in given, like, Vancouver is so metropolitan feeling at the moment, like, really, like, you know, wealth. It does become a community, right? And I think that's their theme, actually. The Downtown East Side calls themselves Heart of Community. And that's totally legit, because it is one place where at least those folks who are marginalized in the mainstream can be together and try to fight the system in whatever way they can.
There are community building projects there. I saw community gardens too.
Yep.
So there's a really fine line about how to talk about issues that people face. Like, even us, we say Indigenous issues all the time.
Yeah.
But Mumilak Kagak rightly points out that it's issues Indigenous people face.
Yep.
Because these aren't our issues. These are issues that were presented to us. I think it's the same thing with the Downtown East Side.
Exactly.
Right? There's a culture there of ignorance.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, there is a little bit of, this is race theory, but there's a little bit of pleasure, race pleasure in it all, right? Because people can look at the Downtown East Side and they can be like, oh, at least that's not us.
Yeah.
And feel comfortable sitting in their bougie houses, you know, with their, you know, Maseratis and their pools and all that, and be like, oh, at least it's not me. There is pleasure in that. And there's some great literature, especially from Black studies scholars, that point out that there is pleasure in being able to have that group there to remind yourself that, you know, we have it so much better. And there's a pleasure in that, right?
Yeah,
that's true. I can.
I think it's the same with reserves, right?
Yep.
It gives a sense that, you know, white folks can be like, oh, that's not us, and it will never be us. And there's a pleasure in that.
You see the meme on Facebook where it's where they're judging city Indians. It's like, why do you res Indians always judge us? And it's Family Guy or whatever on their suits and their tuxedos.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my goodness. Sorry.
So students are filling out their university applications right now. High school students are. And so hopefully if you're a high school student listening to this, you want to go and take the program that Dr. Robin Bourgeois is a part of. So what are we putting on our university? Sean and I think are going to go apply to university right after the show.
Yes. Amazing.
What do we apply to make sure that we can take your courses?
Well, if you're undergrad, women and gender studies.
Okay.
That's Brian.
Perfect.
Which is kind of cool, but I also teach in social justice and equity studies, which is a master's program.
Okay.
So I'm super, like, if you're in to do a master's, come do it with me.
We're getting there.
I would love that.
We are getting there.
That would be amazing.
We're going to do a we're going to do a whole show based on Carl and I upgrading our education.
Amazing.
Right? We should.
We should.
Anytime we talk about education, it's important. There, actually, though, you said something that, like, Canada has a minister of women and gender equality.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they make it a minister of women and gender equity? Right? What's the difference between equal treatment of women and equitable?
Right?
There's still people that don't know.
I'm so angry.
Okay. Right? It is a big difference. Equality implies that everybody gets the same, but that doesn't deal with some of the distinct barriers. Equity means that you address the barriers so that everybody can be. And actually, I like, there's that meme, you know, you've seen with the fence that
baseball
describes
fence.
It.
Oh, yeah.
I like the amendment now, which is rip the frickin' fence down so that everybody can have access, right? Because ultimately that's what we want. But I think that's a very careful choice of words as equality, because it's equal to who?
Yeah.
And I think the implication is equal to men, right? So I think equity is actually way more appropriate.
Do
that.
You hear that, Niagara Regional Council? Sorry. I am so angry. We just had this whole thing in Niagara about a women's advisory council.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes.
Men should not be speaking about women's issues. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Well, we need to call each other out when it comes to women's issues. So if that's what she said jokes. I cut totally out of, like, I admit it. I was that guy, you know, that everything, that's what she said, right? We can't do that anymore. And when you see your friends doing it, that kind of locker room humor is the type of thing that I think perpetuates the objectification of women and contributes to it. So our role is to call each other out, not to grab the mic at women's issues.
Well, and I think, too, like, recognizing, too, that system also harms you. Like, heteropatriarchy harms dudes, too. Like, it's as bad for everyone. So we all need to do better, right?
Well, I mean, watching old movies, like movies that played 3-4 years ago that, like, given the current climate now, are completely unacceptable and almost normalizes and perpetuates the patriarchy.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's frustrating.
These are gigantic topics that we've tackled today, but we have a gigantic-minded intellectual that's in the room with us, and I really hope you'll come back, Dr. Bourgeois.
Anytime.
We would love to have you back on One Dish, One Mic. We'd also love to have all of our listeners back on the other side of the break. So we're going to give a shout-out to some of our sponsors, and we'll be back for one more segment on One Dish, One Mic.